we extend a warm Christian Crusaders welcome to all of our listeners today. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Are you a moody person? The Word of God has something to say about this, and we're going to discuss it today in the sermon. We invite you to stay tuned. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we pray that you will forgive us for having our moods. We know that it is a part of our human nature, but we also realize that by grace, some of these moods can be overcome. Open our hearts, speak to us through your word, and grant, O God, that we may be drawn closer to you through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 40th chapter of the prophet Isaiah, beginning with verse 28. God is speaking, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Here ends a reading of God's holy word.
Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Friends in Christ, are you a moody person? The Bible does have a lot to say about moods, and so I'd like to talk with you about it today. One of the greatest compliments that we could give to any person would be something like this. Mary is always the same. Now, Mary and her family would probably say, "No, I'm not. You don't know me, at least when I'm home. I have my ups and my downs, too." Well, I think that's true of all of us, isn't it? We have our moods depending on the day and what the circumstances are. But our text today talks about moods and how they can be controlled. I believe this should be of interest because most of us have mood problems. The people of Israel were in captivity. Judah had now lived in Babylon for a while as exiles. The enemy had conquered them and had taken them away. And as a result of that, Israel was in a bad mood. She began to ask God certain questions. "How can you say that you, the Lord, are really our God? Don't you sense any troubles that we might have? We live here among these pagan people. We want to go home. Why, God, did you let these Babylonians carry us away in exile? I thought we were supposed to be your people, the people with the promise." And then God begins to speak. And this is what he says. "Israel, don't you understand that the everlasting God never grows faint or weary? He understands what's going on. He hasn't forgotten about you. Israel, your strength is in him. Look to him when you are in one of these depressed moods, and there you will find that you can really be lifted above the feelings that are tormenting you." God goes on to say that human strength will not lift us out of our moods. He says even youth, with all of their strength, grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And then we have these strong words from our God. They will soar on wings like eagle. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. In other words, we will rise above our moods if we can but put our trust in Almighty God. That Bible verse gave a person by the name of Michael Jonkus the thought to write this tremendous song. I hear it sung often at funerals, even at weddings. Perhaps you've heard it too. I wish we could have played it on our program today, but I do not have a copy of it. Here it is, the first stanza. "You who dwell in the shelter of the Lord, who abide in the shadow for life, say to the Lord, my refuge, my God in whom I trust, and I will rise up on eagle wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of my hand." In other words, what the Word of God is saying is very clear, that we can live above our moods. Our moods can be controlled. Our ups and our downs can be fewer if we learn to trust in the Lord. Now, what does this have to say to us who live with moods? First, let me say, today you notice I'm talking about moods, and not so much about depressions. I do not here refer to depressions that are related to physical or chemical problems in our body. Experience has taught me and the sickness of my wife that anything like a chemical imbalance can bring about great depressions, and we realize that it has to be treated often in that way. But what I'm really anxious to talk to you about is not those who are seriously depressed to the extent of hospitalization or very, very strong medical care. I'm talking to those of us who are just the ordinary people walking around with our ups and downs. Sometimes these moods can be as simple as a dark gray day. Sometimes in the winter, not so much the snow in Iowa, not so much the cold, but those consistently gray days can do something to an individual's mood. Or in the summertime, those of us who are out on the golf course and realize that we're not professionals, and some of us that we're growing older, can almost get in a mood when that golf game is not what we think that it ought to be. Yeah, it can be the little mood like this that I'm referring to, but it can be much more catastrophic. It can be a serious illness. It can be a death. It can be grief within the family as certain disappointments have come, or it can be just downright plain financial needs. There are many things that cause us to go into our moods and we find ourselves down in the dumps. Don't most of us have these depressing days where we question everyone's love and we even question God sometimes? We question our mothers, our fathers, our kids. These are the moods. Our moods make us and those around us miserable people. Here is a word that God has. Don't you know? Haven't you experienced by now that God does not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom? There are two very important words here. Don't you know? It's that word, know. How important it is, friend, that we have good biblical understanding of God. I certainly believe, and we're going to get to that in the sermon today, I believe in a personal relationship with God. But I do not agree with one of my friends, a close friend and a dear committed person to the Lord Jesus Christ, when he says the primary emphasis in the church today must be relationship. And I hurry on to say that is very important. But before we can have a relationship with God or a relationship with anybody, we've got to have some knowledge. And that means that we need in our churches and in our congregations strong educational programs. We need to know what's going on in our Sunday schools. We need to just find the very, very best that we can who are members of our congregation and have been given the gift to teach and challenge these individuals to get into those Sunday school classrooms and teach the Word of God, not only with their expertise in pedagogy, but also in their conviction that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of all. It is a rather pathetic thing when just before Sunday school starts in the fall, that is, starts in the real sense of the word, that we go after teachers. The fourth grade needs a teacher. Anybody interested? And sometimes all these teachers are in our Sunday schools, and God bless those who are not like that, but we just have warm bodies. Now, that is not what God wants. God wants a person who really knows the Word of God to teach those little children. That's why I believe that in the denomination that I belong to, the Lutheran Church, we must never, never let our confirmation program weaken. You just can't change that from a weekly meeting with these young men and women to something that's less, like a four-hour retreat, three or four times a year, and think that you have done the job. Because it's much easier for you. No, we need to sit with them. We need to talk with them. We need to plead with them that they understand what the Word of God has to say. It's not an easy job. And it does not get any easier as the days go by. I thank God that I was raised in a doctrinal church. I thank God that my pastors and my Sunday school teachers, that together with my home, taught me, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I don't think they spent a lot of time trying to tell me how he did it, but they were anxious for me to know, as I trotted off to college and faced all of the disciplines that were there, that above all, God is a creator, and that the crowning work of the creation happens to be the human being. For there it says in the very first chapter of the book of Genesis, then God said, after the creation had come into being, let us make man, generic, in our image, male and female, let us create them, and let them have dominion over the works of all that is before them. See, that's pretty vital for a young person to know. Do you not know, God is saying? See, if you don't have that knowledge, friend, then you can easily jump back into these moods. Because after all, where do you turn? Having learned that God is my creator, I thank God that I've also learned that I'm a sinner. There's no question about my sinful condition. And I'm not the only one. That doesn't give me any relief. But I learned in the Holy Scriptures through a good biblical theology that all people have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. But God has sent into this world his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is not just another person, but Jesus Christ is the incarnate Son of God and the Savior of the world. I thank God that I learned in my Sunday school, in my confirmation classes, in my church, that Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary suffered and died for the sins of the world. And through that suffering and death, he paid the price for my sins. On the third day, he was raised again, and there he won for me the victory over sin, death, and the devil. That is something that you and I need to know, friend. Surely it is intellectual learning. No question about that. We need to study the passages of Scripture that relate to that great teaching. We also need to learn that God makes it very clear in his Word that having done all of this, he will empower us by the Holy Spirit. He will create within us faith. But in faith, we must receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, or all that he has done for us as far as our salvation is concerned will be of no avail. That's what we have to learn. It's not only to learn a catechism, and I thank God for the catechism, but it is to learn those scripture passages. This is what the Word of God has to say. I tell you, friend, we need to be sending our young people out into this world with that foundation. It is the Word of God that teaches me that as his child redeemed in Jesus Christ, I have a God who is my refuge and my strength. Only this past week I sat in a seminar and had a marvelous experience as a teacher, again opened up that great passage, Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And you get to the end of that psalm and it says, therefore be still. Be still and know that I am God. You see, when you have knowledge like that, you have a God to whom you are able to return. We need to hear that the Lord is our shepherd. We need to hear that Jesus Christ has come and said, I am the good shepherd. We need to hear, my friend, that he has said, I will never leave you. I will not forsake you. And I have not promised that your day is going to be easier on this earth, but I want you to know this, that as your day is, so your strength is going to be. That is knowledge that you and I need to have. But we also have a second word here. It is not only knowledge, but it is not only to know, but it is also to have experienced. Have you experienced these truths? These truths must become personal. And they become personal through our everyday walking with these truths and finding out that they are really all that God ever said they were. When my moods show up, I turn to God, whom I have learned about in the Scriptures. But then it is my experience with these truths that really make them living and personal. In the Word of God, I learn about God and His love in Jesus Christ. And as I walk with Him, I learn to meet Him, and I know Him in a personal way. Not many years ago, I had a funeral service, and I used that marvelous text, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believeth in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. When the funeral service was over, and we were sitting having a cup of coffee together, a lady whose father I had just buried said, that was my confirmation verse that you used as a text today. When I was a kid, I learned it as a Bible verse, and I appreciated it. But today, Jesus Christ jumped out of that passage, and I know Him in a new and different way. So here are the moods. And where do we turn? Where do we go when we're miserable ourselves and probably have others around us feeling miserable too? We turn back to what we know, what we have learned in the Scriptures, and what we have experienced in Jesus Christ. So when my moods show up, I turn to God, whom I have learned about, and the God whom I've experienced in my daily walk. Therein my moods can be controlled. In those days, friend, when we are discouraged and our moods are heavy, God does not try to arouse us and tell us to get going. That would be cruel. He proclaims to us a fresh gospel and says, come to me. I give you strength, and you can soar on wings like eagles and ride over those moods that so often are found in our personalities. God and God's Word can help us control those moods. Amen. God in heaven, come to us where we are. Whether we drive in our automobiles, sit by our radios at home, lie on our beds of pain, moods can come, O God. But grant that that word that you have given to us and that we have stored up in our hearts may give us peace as we look to you the one who is able to sustain us and to walk with us as long as we are on this earth. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the service has filled your spiritual needs and will guide you to a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit radio ministry supported entirely by gifts from you, our listening family. Some of you are members of our GEM Club. GEM stands for Gift Every Month, and members send a gift each month. No matter the size of the gift, this faithful, regular giving provides Christian Crusaders with a steady income to pay for radio time. We warmly thank each of our GEM donors. You are truly jewels in this important ministry. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help defray mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 38 years.